Hi, I'm Trevarsi, and you are listening to Signal. And this month, my guest, I have a very special guest. His name is Dave Meck. He's an electronic music live performer and producer, and his roots are in flamenco, guitar, bass, and drums, which we'll definitely get into that. He's hard-driven, improvised techno sets blend like deep atmospheric and high energy rhythms, earning him performances across Europe. And he has releases on labels like Soma Lab Music and Tribal Pulse. And he actually has a self-release, which we'll also get into. But beyond performing, he's extremely active in education and community building through his YouTube channel. And that's actually where I found him. So without further ado, let's bring him in.
Hi.
Hi, Dave.
Good to be here. Hi, how are you doing?
Great. So happy to have you. As I mentioned, you know, when I was introducing you, that's how I found you, like learning things about the electron stuff, which we'll get into much in just a little bit. But
yeah.
Yeah, like, well, before we dig into the interview, because I have a lot of questions for you, we're going to play your performance, so let people enjoy that. Do you have anything that you want to say about it or anything?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was live recorded in Club Basis, which is a club here in Utrecht, in my hometown, actually. And yeah, it's a really nice underground club, and I kind of wanted to show this performance because I really like to record my live performances in clubs because there's that vibe, right? Mm-hmm. In the studio, mm-hmm. It's always a little bit different. So yeah, this is like how it sounds when I play live. It's a slightly slower tempo, like 142 BPM or so. And then I play in Berlin regularly and it's a bit higher tempo. But yeah, it's quite a groovy, dubby set. So I hope you'll like it.
Awesome. All right, so let's get into it.
We'll be right back. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, that was awesome. This is great. I know, right? Oh man, I really enjoyed your set. Like, I enjoy all your music, but it did definitely have more of like an atmospheric dubby vibe. I really liked the. You always have these really nice subgroups happening. Like,
right.
It's like in all your music, that's something I've really noticed. But, and you seem very cool, calm, and collected when you play, which is really nice too.
That took some time. Yeah.
Okay. So I have some tech questions. And for those that are not watching, they're just listening. Tell me your setup. Like, what's your setup?
Yeah. Okay, so this has been a setup that has gone through some iterations, and also veered off of it and then came back to it. And it basically consists of multiple Electron boxes, the two Digitect 2s, one Digitone 2, a Syntact, and a Digimixer. And I went through several, most notably the Zone DB4. I used to use that a lot, and also made a video about it, and people were coming a little bit wild because it is a very, very incredible mixer. And then I started using some other Zone 96, and now I landed on the Union Audio Elara 6, which is just an amazing mixer. It sounds incredible. So from the same designer actually as the Zone mixers, the Zone 92 and the 96, New Rigby Jones. And so that is basically the solid base for the setup. And then I have two Sens, aux Sens. One is
is it a four channel mixer? Like, is it a DJ style mixer, or is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a DJ style mixer with four normal channels and then two return channels with parametric EQ. And it has two filters where you can send any channel, you can send to those filters, or analog processing, I should say, strips. I can sort of get into that as well. It's pretty interesting. And and then you have two stereo aux sends, and those go to a delay, like what is it called? The Microcosm, right?
Oh, okay.
And yeah. And the other one is the Otto Bum. Which is a really wonderful reverb, and that's basically the sort of effects that I use.
Now, were you going to say something else before?
Yes.
Oh yeah, go for it.
As far as MIDI controller, from Fader Fox, and then I have a mastering chain that's Auto Boom into IMC, which is a very nice compressor. So it's a very elaborate setup, and it's all built into one case, pre-connected, so I can just basically plug in power and audio, and that's it, and go. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, so that was, you kind of answered the question that I was going to pre-jump in. So do you have two boom? Did I see two booms, auto booms up? Like, or?
Two processing units at the end, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I got the auto bum is the reverb unit. That is on the aux send, and the auto boom is on the main out, or the main insert, basically, the master insert. And that goes, after the auto boom, it goes through IMC and then back into the mixer, basically. Yeah.
Got you. Okay. Because I couldn't, and then one of the things with one of the videos I watched were when you talked about the Zone DB4, which we'll kind of get into that in just a moment, your YouTube stuff, but that's the mixer I thought you were using. So interesting. So you're using this new or this different mixer. What made you change? Just out of curiosity.
I used to use the Zone DB4 because I had two Digitects, and I sort of would loop one and then mix the other in and change the patterns on the other one and then mix that in and sort of layer them together like that, because the Zone DB4 has a looper per channel and an effects section per channel. So I didn't need any extra outboard effects. It's a very compact, good sounding solution. But I sort of changed to an analog style DJ mixer because the analog summing is just amazing, and it really helped sort of make the sound even more solid. And I also wanted to sort of see what I would do without the loopers. See if I can just free myself a little bit from that and start blending several different patterns, different sounds from different electron boxes together and stuff.
Yeah. Right, like just kind of mixing, like using the channels to actually mix back and forth between. But you're still using the two Digitechs, right?
Yeah, it used to be the Digitech One, sort of the original one. When that was released first, I immediately saw it and was like, okay, that's sort of the thing that I was looking for to start to go live, because I've went through a lot of different iterations of live sets, like playing with Ableton and Traktor and that sort of thing. And then Digitech was released and I was like, that's sort of a deck that I can use, the sampler, and then I'll buy two and then the mixer, and I can sort of mix grooves together. And that's where it sort of started. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So, I have to say, like, I think that's around the time maybe when I started following you, or I found your channel on YouTube, and I too ended up picking up the DB4 and having fun like with the looping aspect, and it was great tip. You did a whole video on how you use that and how to use the mixer in that way, so it's very, very creative. I definitely learned some interesting tips and tricks from you with that.
Nice. DB4 is an incredible mixer. It's a super creative mixer. It's really cool. Yeah.
So do you find that with this stepping away from the looping capability, do you find that you are a little more free, like to be able to free flowing between your devices now, or how do you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. So I still think looping is super powerful. I actually used the RC505 in a different project with a mate of mine. So looping is sort of, you get extra hands, so that's a real cool thing about looping. But now, it's a bit difficult to explain. But basically, what I now do more is really keep things moving the whole time, various elements together from different groove boxes. And when you loop something, it's sort of set. And certainly, when you're looping whole patterns, it's sort of a little bit static. While if everything is playing, I need to sort of keep moving and keep blending and keep things alive, basically. So that's sort of, for me, it's in a way it's a limitation, but then it's not. But it sort of helps me to sort of keep myself activated, I guess, a little bit more.
Right, because you have to be conscious of like muting and unmuting, or what channel you're going to bring in next, type of thing.
Yeah,
like
a little bit more. Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you, okay, so two Digitechs, Syntact, Digitone.
Yeah.
I saw you turning the knob, so I just couldn't tell what it was. So that was the Firefox.
The Firefox, that's the EC, the PC4. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're great, great controllers. I love the Firefox stuff. The Fader Fox.
Yeah,
stuff.
Fader Fox. Yeah, for sure. They're really, really quite simple, but that is why they're so effective, right? So, basically, I use it to control various modulation matrices. So in the Digitechs and the Syntact and the Digitone 2s, you have a for modulation wheel, for instance, and breath control, like the old MIDI style parameters, you have modulation matrices, and per sound or track on the Digitone 2, for instance, you can set up four parameters that the modulation wheel will change. So I mapped controllers to that. So I have sort of a one knob macro that I can change to make buildups or constant changes. So I actually have that one. My left hand is almost constantly on that MIDI controller to just slowly, as a sort of a humanized LFO, basically, like my hand is a modulator. That's kind of the thing. Yeah.
Nice. So you can just use that. Just bring in a bunch of different change a bunch of different elements all at once.
Exactly.
Nice. Now, do you find that with your, so talking about your setup and getting into your approach of music, like, so taking a step back, you've played your set, how do you take this setup and keep it in the same form and write your music, and what's your approach? Like, do you keep all the drums? Do you have a uniform type of thing? Meaning, like, do you keep all the kicks in the same place or on the same device? And and yeah, what's your process with creating?
Yeah, it's a good question. I really like to use groove boxes as a self-contained instrument. So I literally just grab one, either the Syntec Digitone or Digitect, out of the case, and I place it on my desk, and I just start creating complete grooves within them. Okay. So they basically, if you would each pattern, they're all mostly one groove patterns, or one pattern grooves, I should say. And each box has a complete groove. So I could actually, if I want to, just play that groove from one box and start opening filters and muting and muting and build a whole arrangement life with just one. Because I kind of like that limitation and focus of having one box and just diving into that. And that is how I create the grooves, basically. And it's also has a very nice sort of sound, because yeah, with the Digitone 2, you get this very nice FM grooves, right? It has a very particular sound. And with the Digitech 2, it's more sampling. So it's a bit more raw, and I can do weird field recordings and bring those in and that sort of thing.
Right,
and then
right.
Live, I sort of get this whole layered approach where I can either have a balance between DJing patterns and almost complete improvisation, sort of. So I can step back a little bit, like I need a breather. I will just focus on a pattern of one groove box and make an arrangement live. But then when I get a little bit into it, I can sort of take the kick and the low end from one box, blend that with the percussion of another, grab one other box to add some pads, and another one, the lead or something. And then just keep constant movement, then switch from the lead of one to the lead of the other, and then the low end of another, etc. So I'm sort of, yeah.
Okay, so you're actually
with groups.
With it going back and forth. So you literally have like maybe kicks on the Digitech, but also kicks coming from the Syntec as well?
Yeah, they all have complete low end and everything, yeah.
Sure. Interesting, yeah. Okay.
And I also blend those together often, so I'll just... The low cut on the mixer, for instance, will be at, let's say, 11 o'clock on one, and then 10 o'clock on the other. And sometimes the combination of those two will sort of create a new low end groove. And then I'll mute everything from one box and only leave the kick, and then slam that over that other low end. And then you get sort of, that's why the analog summing of the DJ mixer, of an analog mixer, is really important, because how the low end blends together on those analog mixers is just a bit different than on the digital mixer.
Like in a digital one. Right.
Yeah.
No, that makes total sense. I really like your approach, because I think often, I mean, I'm a big Electron box user myself, and I've used them in different ways, as do many people, but I've often hear people using, when they have a few of them, they're using them like together, meaning like pattern one on pattern one for all of them is like their song or their idea of a song. So it's almost like they're kind of locked together, where your approach, it's giving you the freedom of just being like, I'm going to transition to this pattern over here in the Digitech, or now I'm going to transition to the Syntec pattern B12. Like, you're not held.
Not bound.
Bound by the pattern per
right, and even sounds. Cool. I can just blend different tracks from different groove boxes together and create something completely different. And I can also use Control All, or you know, to completely morph or destroy a pattern into oblivion, and then throw in the low end of another box. And then
very cool.
It gives you a lot of freedom. Yeah.
So cueing and just really taking the approach of the DJ, like a style like a DJ essentially, but with
sort
hardware
of.
Right,
yeah. I don't cue, I just I take a chance.
I just throw
stuff in. Yeah, I sort of know, I have a system, so I know where certain patterns are more or less. And you asked Larry, why do your, are your kicks on the same spot always? Yeah, that sort of thing. I do have a system per groove box. Yeah.
Got it. So it's not like it's haphazard, like kicks are on channel 3 and then 1 and like, yeah. No, that's cool.
No, that wouldn't work. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love the approach. I feel like it definitely opens more doors for yourself, as opposed to just being kind of stuck you know, which is great. I mean, I've heard people play a lot of cool sets, like combining the various Electron and other gear that has pattern changes, and their sets sound amazing. But as a live artist that is constantly changing my setup, I like to have more as much freedom as possible. And the way you're approaching it with the Electron stuff is pretty cool. Like, it is giving you that freedom to be able to
for sure
jump around, you know,
and create and surprise yourself, right? Because you improvise completely. It's just that's still I'm working on some modular stuff. I'm trying to get there, but that's the sort of next level for me still. But to fully improvise is also interesting, because you keep surprising yourself. Like, you can have these moments like, oh, this is cool, let's stay here for a little bit, right? And that's sort of what I try to create in with the Electron approach things as well. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool. So then that kind of takes me to the background, your musical background. Flamenco? Yeah. Let's talk
about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. Share. Tell me about it. Like, how did I get there?
Yeah. I think when I was six or something, my mother played a vinyl record of Manita de Plata, and I cannot really remember. I do remember listening to it a lot, but apparently I was very enthusiastic about it. Let's put it that way. So I wanted to play guitar, obviously, and I started playing guitar at seven or something, and I started in this sort of your standard music school in this group, and it was very boring, but I sort of kept at it, and eventually I changed to a private tutor, and he was really into he was a flamenco guitar player, and nice. I went on these retreats in France, and I performed quite a lot when I was a teenager in flamenco bands with a dancer, and that sort of, it was really, really cool.
That sounds very cool.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing to do, because it's very rhythmic. So that's, I always had that thing with rhythms. It's a very rhythmic type of music with dancers that also create rhythms by tapping their shoes and clapping, and it's very energetic as well. Mm-hmm. So that's basically where I started the musical journey. And then when I was 12, there was this little article in the newspaper that a rock academy was started in Tilburg in the Netherlands, and I was sort of like, yeah, I'm gonna go there. So that was sort of this idea. Okay, I want to sort of keep doing this, and I didn't know yet that it would be with electronic music, obviously, but that's sort of where it started.
That's very cool. I mean, especially because of the technique, you know, like learning that specific style of music, it's very technical. So being able to take that, having that technique, being able to take it across genres, you know, I think it's helpful, you know, when
for sure
music. So in that case now, just, you know, knowing that you listen to other styles of music other than, you know, techno and house, like, are there any artists that are influencing you right now? I mean, that might be a big, maybe what two or three currently do you find are
currently
because, you know, it always changes, right?
It always changes, and it's also I like so many different genres, and I'm also very, this is why I was one of the reasons I also stopped DJing. Now it's a joke, but I'm really bad at remembering artists and tracks and that sort of thing. I would be a terrible DJ. But there's definitely a couple of artists, like Blauwan has been a big favorite of mine for a long time now, because it's just what he does with his live performances, and with Karen as well. Mm-hmm. And his production techniques and stuff are super inspiring to me. So that's definitely one high on my list. And I've circled back to Empty Set. I don't know if you know Empty Set.
I don't think so. I'll have to check them out.
It's a duo. It's quite obscure. It's very experimental. They sort of, for an album, they sort of decide on a workflow almost with certain gear, and they start experimenting. So that one of the first albums was just sine waves and noise, basically, that they started experimenting through reverb and distortion. Cool. And it's amazing.
I'll check it out. Yeah,
it's incredible, and definitely if you listen to it on your monitors and turn
in the
it
studio.
Up.
Give it the proper sound
music.
Space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I've been listening to lately as well, and Tamudo is also techno live act and the DJ. He's I think he recently sort of started doing live stuff. It's really, really good. He's also he does the most of his stuff in Ableton, and he builds complete systems, I think, in Ableton that are just it's really incredible. Sounds like it's basically like he has tons of analog gear, and he doesn't. He does everything in Ableton as far as I know.
Wow. Yeah, no, I love his productions. Yeah, I listen to a lot of his music. I didn't know he was getting into live, so that's cool. I'll have to look for that.
Yeah.
But I've heard his DJ set. I've heard him DJ, and I do often listen to his music as just the technique and just for, you know, inspiration and stuff. So
yeah.
Very cool. Yeah.
Nice.
So I was going to ask you about the DJ thing, but you pretty much answered, because I was going to say DJ or live performance. So live performance.
Yeah, live performance only. Yeah, yeah. I don't DJ anymore.
Yeah. I don't either. I'm all in on live performance it suits.
You have
me.
More of a connection with it as well, right? I can. So yeah, that's
exactly.
Kind of yeah.
So do you have anything, so I know you just played this set, do you have anything coming up, any shows or any releases that you want to just let us know about or talk about?
For sure, yeah. I the 6th of January, February, I will be playing in the Netherlands again in a chapel, so that's a very cool location. With people that have sort of businesses in the lightning technique and sound technique and stuff. So this is sort of their sales pitch. So they make an insane production out of it. It's going to be pretty wild.
Okay.
Yeah, very cool. And I'm also playing in Berlin this year multiple times. I now have dates for the 2nd of April in About Blank. And the 7th of May, so that's the first day of Superbooth, actually, which I go to every year because it's...
I will be there. You know. I can't wait.
Oh,
where are you playing?
So cool.
Where are you playing?
That one will be in Oxy, in the Club Oxy, yeah.
Okay, I'm making a note. I will be there.
Oh, that would be awesome, yeah. Yeah,
Oxy.
That's going to be... Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Yeah, I got Amsterdam Techno Records started booking me, and I played in Berlin 6 or 7 times last year, and it's just continuing. Very happy to be working with him, and yeah, super nice.
Congratulations on that. Yeah, you deserve it. I mean, like I said, I've been following you for some time, and you make really good music, and
thank you
it's
so
good
much
to see you getting out there and playing out more, and I really appreciate coming on the show and really like giving us a stellar performance and then talking about it too and breaking it down for us. So
yeah, happy to do it for sure. Yeah. Oh yeah, also almost forgot that there's also an album released this year on Diffuse Records, so Diffuse Reality I should say.
Nice.
Yeah, before I forget,
Do you have a date for it or anything? Do you want to shout
not
it out
yet.
Okay.
Not yet, but it's on its way. It's also a vinyl release, so that's nice.
Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, then I'll definitely be on the lookout for that. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you again in person, because last time we were at, it was 80, not this past year, but the year before.
Yeah.
That
was super nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It was good to hang out. And so I'm looking forward to seeing you then at Superbooth in Berlin.
Likewise. Yeah. That's a yearly, like, sort of nice retreat for us nerds.
Yeah.
It's always good to be there.
Totally. Yeah. That's exactly it. Inspirational and great music, good gear, you know, it's good retreat.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing because there's now multiple big artists are just walking around there as well, which is so cool. Like Richie Houghton always attends.
Yes. Well, he's definitely a gear nerd too, which is one of the many reasons why I love him. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, super nice.
Cool. Well, all right then. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I'll see you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. See you soon.